Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community, and it's been a week.
Since we've chat.
It has been exactly
it's
1 week.
It's been since 1 week since we've been chatted. Here.
It has. It has. And what a week it's been. Baldur's Gate 3 has actually come out, and we've all had a chance to play it. We're going to talk about it, give our first impressions, discuss whether or not it's not yet having a release date on the Xbox is a big deal. But before we jump into that, if you'd like to support the show, head over to YouTube and become a member. Because after the show, we've got a members episode. And today's members only episode is, what's our favorite gaming setup? What's the ideal gaming setup? A discussion. Come and join us. Come hang out. Come join the show. All the member lounges become open to you as a member once you're a member, once you become one. So, yeah, join us. And thank you to everybody. Thank you, everybody, for being live here in chat as well. Baldur's Gate 3. I love it. I really like it. And I'm not a huge... You guys are like big Dungeons & Dragons people much more than I am.
You Dungeons and Dragons people.
You D&D people.
You people over there.
Yeah.
You D&D
you
people.
You others. You yeah. others.
I'm not them.
I am not that. But I do enjoy Divinity Original Sin. I enjoy Divinity 2. I enjoy CRPGs. And Baldur's Gate 3 is the best one that I have played, maybe ever. Mm-hmm. Right out the bat. Starts out a little bit slow for the first, I'd say, 15 minutes. But once you get into the world and you get your group with you, it really just takes off. It's so in-depth. It's limitless. It has this feeling of I can go anywhere and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And that I like about it. But it manages to do it in a way that's not overwhelming.
Well, it's just it's insane the amount of effort that went into it because you even if you're following the main story, you can go off and do side stuff that feel like the main, it feels like a D&D campaign. Like they've done an excellent job making it feel that way. Because in a D&D campaign, you don't necessarily feel like you're doing side quests. You just feel like you're going out questing, having an adventure. You can get, they have a main scenario that you can do, but you can get lost. Like at the beginning, you can get lost doing stuff in the runes, finding other people. And it feels as if it's a part of the main quest. Like it's very well done.
It's very well done. The turn-based combat is on point, as it always is. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a turn-based combat guy, I would highly recommend this. I actually saw a comment from someone that said, a lot of games are going away from this. These types of games can't sell. And this game has absolutely crushed it as far as sales. It's one of the top-selling games this month, over last week, just destroying it. And people saying, like, I wish one person in particular, who was it that said it? Someone famous was like, The Dragon Age went away from this style. This has that Dragon Age feel. Yeah. Like Dragon Age needs to go back to this style.
Yeah.
And I would love that game again. Like this style sells. You have to, I'm sure this style might be harder to do development wise and harder to make shine and appeal to everybody. But when it shines, it sings.
Yeah. No, that's actually the one disappointment going into Dragon Age 2 and Inquisition is the fact that they made it more like Mass Effect and not Dragon Age. And there's nothing wrong with Mass Effect. Mass Effect is an action role-playing game. Dragon Age was not.
Yeah.
And they can both coexist and do well in the same universe unless you work for EA. And then they're like, nah, we got to make them all like
Well,
Mass
but in
Effect.
Fairness, I think the move was like, are these games are probably done. These games have passed their time. Nobody wants these again. But this game proves otherwise.
No, I agree.
Maybe that was a cycle and that was the case then, but we're back.
We're back to this. I hope the current development of the new Dragon Age is like, maybe we can go back to the roots.
No, Spicy, I know you purchased this game. Did you get a chance to jump in and check it out at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played it a little bit.
Yeah, and what was your, as a dungeon master?
Oh, it's Dungeons and Dragons. I find it interesting that it's like exactly like the 5th edition, right? So it's 5E. Yeah. You even roll the dice. You roll the D20. You roll a whole bunch of stuff.
And you get just as mad when you miss it.
Well, it's kind of,
But you can somewhat cheat because you can just save. And
but what makes D&D so great is once you play it a little bit, you realize you're not playing to win, you're playing to play.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about Dungeons & Dragons is even if you fail, something hilarious, something challenging, something the story will develop behind it. And that's what Larian Studios does really well in this game. I think going back to what you were saying, David, I think when developers started moving away from this style, this turn-based style, I think it's a combination of the developer wants to, of course, make games that appeals to the masses.
Sure.
I think it's also extraordinarily challenging to make a game where choices actually change the dynamic of everything you do. You think about how many if-then statements have to be in the code. If this happens, then this happens. If this doesn't happen, then this doesn't happen. And that's one of the reasons why Divinity, for example, or any game that Larian Studios has made, they are so good at taking the time, taking the necessary time to make the depth into a game. And that's where me and Jordan were having this discussion before the podcast. It was actually an interesting discussion. Now, Jordan was showing me some tweets of some so-called some developers that were, you know, saying this Larian has done something that can't be held as a standard, essentially, to going forward. If that makes sense, because it is such, they put in so much depth. One of the tweets I saw was Rockstar level depth, which, mm-hmm. you know, if you've played Red Dead Redemption 2, you know that the depth that how much detail they put into stuff that you may never even notice or even experience in the game until you're like your fifth playthrough, for example. So I think, and how Larian did this, I did this on my mini series I do, the Know Your Game series. I did this game last week, or the beginning of this week. And Larian, the developer, the head of the studio, his name is Sone Vinke. I'm sure I'm destroying that name as far as pronunciation, but I think it's pronounced Sone. He had a decision back in like 2004 where he specifically chose to not be published by a publisher. And the reason he wanted to do that was because he wanted the creative freedom to make the game however he wanted to make it. With that comes the risk of, you know, am I able to
money
pay for which they did crowdfund and stuff like that for Divinity and all that stuff. And so he's actually he took a huge risk that I don't think a lot of developers are willing to take to make a game like this. So to the extent where I'm looking at those tweets that Jordan was saying, it makes sense how can you put other developers to the standard that this team has made, because they have publishers that need to push out because they need to pay the bills and obviously stockholders, obviously all that, if you're a public company, all that stuff, right? But Larian specifically, they crowdsourced, they took the chance, they took the risks, and because of that, they made a very, very unique, very good game that I don't think you can do with the current gaming world, if that makes sense. Because he doesn't have
publishers and stuff. They quotas, right?
I mean, it's like our show. We can say whatever we want because we have no sponsors, you know?
But at a certain money limit, I will say what the sponsor wants.
So Jordan's willing to sell out.
For a number. There's a number.
For a certain number, I am willing. Sponsors out there, for a certain number, I am willing to say what you want.
Yeah, well, let's be clear. We will sell out. So, Sone didn't, you know, and Larian didn't. And I would not call this team an independent team because they have, I think I saw 450.
Yeah, I think they're being like a double A studio instead of a triple A.
They have 450 employees. That's huge for an indie team. You know, usually an indie team, you have 20 or less. So I think because Jordan was telling me there's been a lot of like controversy on how developers are saying you can't make this game. You can't make this a standard, a game like this a standard, because the depth, you know, because of how the gaming is, how the development side of things. And to an extent that makes sense, because how many people are willing to take that risk to not have a publisher, to pay your own bills,
yeah,
and have 450 employees. There's not too many people that can actually do that in the development world. So
just in early access, this game sold 2.5 million copies.
I was one of those 2.5 million.
Yeah.
Got to play Act 1.
Well, they came out when...
Or parts of Act 1.
When a developer makes Divinity and Divinity 2 and Divinity Original Sin and all the games that Larian has made, you listen when they're coming out with a new game, especially a title like Baldur's Gate.
Well, and they use their early access not like Blizzard or Call of Duty use their open betas, right? Like, I feel like they use their open betas as a demo for the game to get you to purchase the game, right? Yes, they make slight changes here and there, but I mean, they do it a month or two before the release. That's not enough time to make any meaningful change if there's serious problems, right? They're mostly for demos. It's a marketing scheme at that point.
Yeah.
They actually went this was in early access for, I think, 2 to 3 years, 2.5 maybe, something like that.
2020.
Yeah. So almost 3 years then. But they actually made very good and very big changes given the feedback.
For a game like this, at this scale, with all the choices, with everything that's into it, you really do need mass players to play it, take the feedback, see the data, in order to perfect it over time. Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of it, because I believe in the early access, I don't think they let you past, I think it was like Act 1 or something like that. So there's still a lot of other games that lots of other story parts of the games we haven't even seen yet. But they use the early access to really refine and perfect their systems in the game, which would be choices, you know, how choices work, how combat systems work, how your classes work.
Yeah.
It feels like they took advantage of their early access. And to Mark's point, I think you're right. I mean, there's very few developers where I'd be like, yeah, I don't mind buying an early access game from them, because you know they're gonna use that time wisely. And Larian is one of them.
Yeah, very, very good developer.
So Andrew Kulinine in chat says, I feel like I want to wait for it to come to Xbox. Otherwise, I need to play it on Steam Deck.
So it's very interesting, the Xbox thing. So it's coming to PS5 in like less than a month or something like that.
Next month, yep.
September. And from what I, from my limited research, it's actually ready for the Series X.
Yes.
But the issue is, I guess, with the Series X and the S, whatever feature your game has on the X, it has to have on the S.
You know, there has to be parity
for equality.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But so I think it's something to do with the co-op.
So split screen co-op. They're still working on that, bringing that to the S.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: a lot of people were like, "Well, just bring it to the X, and then just remove that feature from the S." You don't want to do that. Could you imagine a world where now, as a consumer, gamers have to say, "Okay, I have the Series X. I can play this game on the Series X with these features, but I can't play this game with these features on the Series S." So you do have to do that. A lot of players, so people were criticizing them, saying, well, what, the Series S isn't as powerful as the Steam Deck? It's more powerful than the Steam Deck, and the Steam Deck's able to do it. That's because on Steam Deck, they just removed that co-op feature altogether. On Xbox, if it's on the Series X, it needs to be on the Series S.
Yeah.
So there has to be parity there. Microsoft has put their engineers on it and are assisting now getting that to work.
And what's interesting,
we just don't have a date. I would be willing to bet we get it before the end of the year. But there's rumors out there that we don't get it till 2024. It's a shame, but I totally understand. I wish maybe Xbox was a little more aggressive. I don't know what goes on in the back end with getting with doing all that they could to make sure that it comes to the Series S, working with Larian. Maybe they did, and it's just a time thing.
Yeah.
Regardless, I don't blame Xbox for having that rule. I think that rule does need to exist. It doesn't make sense to have different features available on different consoles.
Well, and what's really interesting and good is when I was reading through it, like, the developers didn't criticize anything. They just said, hey, look, this is what we're trying to do. We want to bring it to the platform, and we have our engineers on it.
Yeah.
We just need a little bit more time.
Yeah, he said it's just time. Time is the name of the game in development.
And
so do you think we get it? I hope we get it before the end of the year. It would be nice,
nice Christmas, drops
on
place.
Because these games, we've played Divinity on, I think, did either of you play Divinity on the PC? I think we all played it on Xbox.
I think I have it on the PC.
I have it on the PC, Xbox, and the Switch.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah.
But these games do work pretty well. I mean, mouse and keyboard with all the options is still better.
Jordan's take.
Ease of access.
Here's Jordan's hot take. He was telling me before the show.
You use the controller over mouse and keyboard?
Yeah. I use the dominant input device, which is the controller.
For this game.
For this game? No.
Yeah, 100%. It's way easier to walk around.
That's it. Once you get into battle, everything else is easier.
No, I've been into battle. I'm further than you. I know what I'm talking about. I've been playing. Maybe it's because I've been playing a lot of Diablo lately, right? But it's just these types of games with the it's not hard. You click and move, and then your middle mouse for swaying the camera and stuff like that. That movement stuff, I just think is so much easier on a controller with a joystick.
The top down is
And going into battle, it took me a minute. To their menus are like this now, and it's on the right trigger, and it's a wheel. It's their credit, and this is a sign of a good developer. Blizzard used to do this stuff. It's a completely separate, redesigned UI built for a controller, and I think that's excellent. Right, Blizzard did that with Diablo 3, and it worked out really good.
And you think it's better?
It feels better to me. The movement feels far superior. I mean, talking in conversations is just up and down. The combat, once you get used to the menu, it is fine. It's all right there. It's just as easy. There's a reason they're releasing on the PlayStation in a week because it's ready.
I'll have to try it, but I really like mouse and keyboard on this. Well, the for that reason right there. See how you can like that right there.
Yes. Yeah, so see how I just do that with the joystick.
Yeah, the joystick's native. That's a native movement, David.
The joystick has that built in.
No.
What David was describing was
hovering, hovering with your arrow, like click, discover, click, you know?
Yeah, I just walk over to it and pick it up with A.
Well, because you're going to have to walk over to it anyways, you know? All that happens with the mouse is it hovers over with a gear symbol.
Yeah.
Now there is things like on the keyboard or on the keyboard, like you can, I'm playing this on the PC, but I'm just using a controller. You can hit left control and it'll show every item in the area. And that's nice. Cause as you're walking down the road, you can just pick everything up. I'm sure there's a way to do that on the controller. I just don't know what the button is. So I guess there's little things like that, but as for navigation, this is what was kind of, and it's not frustrating. I was just okay, click here. And yes, you can hold it down.
I just
and
hold
move.
It down. Yeah, that's
but
all I
But then, I kind of want to turn left, but then I have to, hit the middle mouse button and turn the whole camera. And it's not bad. I'm not critic. I think it's a good control scheme. I just think, for me, it feels better on the controller.
Devout Canyon. Just hit tab, and it shows all party members' inventory. Life-changing.
Yeah, but I just do that with.
What's the button?
Go right ahead. Trigger up.
You're so full of shit.
But instead of it's different because it's a different UI. So you hit right trigger, which is your radio menu, and then you hit up for your it's either up or 1 o'clock or 11. It's one of the you hit your inventory and then it shows everybody. Instead of showing it in a panel side by side, all four of their panels, it shows them vertically. So you see my character and then I'm. And then my character stands off to the side with all the gear, and then you have everything vertically instead of horizontal.
Now, in fairness, Devout Canyon also says never ever make an excuse for a $1 trillion company. I can get behind that. Microsoft, Xbox.
Yeah, come on, guys. Well, you built the console.
I mean, it could be. I mean, Larian is making a lot of these decisions because they're self-published. So maybe they're saying we want it to have quality, and so we're not releasing it on the Xbox until. And I actually don't think it's coming out this year. You have the hope.
Yeah, I have the hope.
If it was coming out this year, we'd have a date.
I don't think we have a date, so that if they have to delay it.
That's true. Yeah. Good.
If the expectation is 2024 and then you're like, guess what, guys?
It's Christmas.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's a good thing.
That's probably the better way to do it.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah. Oh, guys, it doesn't.
We're not coming out till 2030.
We don't have a date yet. Rumor is.
Drop it next week.
Drop it. It's coming next week. Stealth drop.
Hey, this part was on the trailer.
So if we weren't playing this on PC, though, would we be mad since we don't have access on an Xbox?
I think this is my limited playtime of this. I think it's one of the greatest games I've ever played.
So yes.
And
so
the answer is yes. But that's because I've played it, right? It's like eating chocolate. If you've never had chocolate, you don't know what it tastes like. You know what I mean?
Well, and to be fair, this game is not for everybody. This is a niche game.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's Jordan's one of if not the best game you've ever played.
Up until this point, Final Fantasy 16 was my game of the year. This, I think, has surpassed it. Ooh. And I'm not even done yet.
What's your class? Ooh. What are you playing as?
Paladin.
Ooh.
Oath of Vengeance, just so I can have a little fun, you know?
He did tell me he is Wiener E.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I really appreciate a game that gives you some really
genital control.
Spicy, what about you? What class did you go for?
Wizard.
And race?
Actually, so I've created two. I generally like playing on Divinity, the pre-built characters.
Oh, yeah.
And so I started... Well, this
did you start pre-built?
I started pre-built with the male human wizard.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Jordan tells me, well, if you customize it, you can choose wiener, several different wieners. And I was like, no way. That's how you win. So, yeah.
Now you're lying.
So now I'm a female. No, just kidding. So I'm doing a wizard custom. By the way, I do want to play this. As a group, as a party. Yes.
Yeah, we haven't got a chance to do that.
Yeah, because we just have to have one person have a save for it. We each can create
Didn't get a chance
own
to do that because I texted everybody and nobody responded.
I did.
Multiple times.
No, but I think I had this conversation. We called each other today.
Yeah, today.
And I had the discussion with my wife. I am setting some time, and it's official. I got permission.
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
Time is being set aside weekly so we can play this game.
So I'm an elf? Wood elf?
Yeah, but
I'm a high elf. We hate each other.
Yeah. We'd have to start new game, though.
But right? Yeah, that's fine.
My class, completely different.
Just because I had so much fun in Diablo, it influenced me. I'm druid.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. That's fair. Well, what elf makes sense?
What genitalia did you pick? They have many options.
Did you not click the button?
I did not click the button.
It's like hidden. You have to scroll down, and then there's a button.
They hide it from you.
Yeah.
Well, okay, when you first log
it's in the unmentionables.
I think you were playing with your kids at first, so you probably skipped the
Playing with my kids until I went up in the ship, and like I'm ripping this guy's brain out, and then I was like, all right, kids, this is not a game for you. Well,
what did you do for that? Did you like, I gently took out the brain.
Oh, I killed it.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm good.
I rolled high, so I wanted to see where the story took me.
I'm not messing with that freaky stuff. A little too freaky for me.
Well, when you first log into the game, it says this game has nudity and other sensitive subjects. Do you want us to put on the filter? And you can hit yes or no.
Oh, I hit no.
Yeah, so I was like, no. I want to see all this stuff.
I'm an adult.
Yeah, and then when I got to care, I had no idea because you do have to scroll down.
I didn't know it existed, so I'm scrolling down.
And then it's like, well, it said take off clothes. And I thought, because like in MMOs, they do that so you can see your body. Yeah, so you're wearing, and you're like, okay, so it's like you customize like my muscles and stuff. You know, I'm like, okay. And then boom, and you're like, whoa.
And then I saw, like, oh my goodness.
There's a lot junk. It was one of those things where you look around like, oh, shoot, was anybody in the room?
They do have several options to choose from.
Both male and female.
You guys have me convinced.
You can really customize your character. Like, it can get crazy.
DeVal Cannon on whether or not he wants it on the Xbox. He is playing it on PC as well. He says, but seriously, Baldur's Gate 3. Oh, no. He says, I'm 45. I want to play Baldur's Gate on my couch on my Xbox. Not sitting in my office chair, but it is what it is.
I mean, it is coming out on the Xbox, and that's super fair. That's why Jordan right here plays with a controller.
Yeah.
He's lazy. He doesn't want to click five times to go across the room.
No.
Yeah. You know? So I get it. Controllers, especially a game like this.
He also says, seriously, Baldur's Gate 3 is the sequel to Dragon Age Origins we all wanted but didn't get.
I agree.
That's what I feel like. I'm like, yes. And it just feels so good.
To be fair, I will say Dragon Age Inquisition got, like, they went back a step. Because Dragon Age 2 was just like, you know, hey, can we pump out another game in 6 months? Yeah, okay.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and then they just did it, and you're in a city, and the choices didn't really matter, and it was all action combat and blah, 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 right? I will admit, Dragon Age Inquisition was a bit better with, like, choice, and they gave you some, but, I mean, there was just...
It's never caught the magic
It's
never re-caught that magic.
The first thing I did in all the Dragon Ages after Origins is I went in, and I saw how much they let me customize what my party can do, and none of them matched up to the first one. Like, use this spell at this time, use this heal at this time, use it, you know, like, it was just, it doesn't feel, I don't like that they got rid of the...
I'm excited to quest together, guys.
I'm excited. I agree
That'd
with that.
Cool. Yeah, so...
Have you guys had any devastating deaths yet?
No, I have not played far enough. I need
to... I have multiple, and it...
Reload the save?
Kicks you. I have done reloaded the save on almost all of them. There's a few that I have let go because I'm like, okay, let's see what happens here.
Well, there's a certain member of my party who I'm currently trying to impress. And sometimes she gets a little upset with my decisions. So I'm like, ah, I have to reload.
Yeah.
I'm like, keep her happy.
You know? A save whore? Yeah.
I am too. After I've died, I'm like, oh, shh.
You got to play it like how
like crazy.
How 5th edition would play. You mess up that roll, it's game on. Over. Yeah.
Game
well, it's
over.
Not game over. It's shifted. The story has shifted.
But yeah. even then, like,
I would like to do that.
That's as a dungeon master, when someone dies, don't you kind of have like a...
As...
Okay, we'll figure something out. Okay,
as a group, it honestly... So, yeah, I'll say it depends on the character.
Like who it is, like I
like, it's like if I... Maybe I'll have somebody like drag their body and revive them or something. Or if I did not like that character is dead.
As a group quest... That's what we should do. No resets. No saves.
Hardcore? We play hardcore? Well, we have to save mode. It when we turn off the console.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, what happens.
Yeah, you want to do that? I'm totally down.
Let's do hardcore. Do they have a hardcore mode?
We should record it.
No, I don't think they do.
Record it as a series.
Do you want to do it as like to everybody, or do you want to do it like a member series? That's a good question.
That dog wants something.
I think it might be a good idea to make
want something. Is that what you're trying to sleep with?
To open this up for everybody.
No, the one on the right.
Oh, Storm. What's her name? Storm?
Yeah, Stormface.
Yeah.
Don't call dibs, though, because I remember when we were playing Dragon Age, David called dibs on the white-haired lady.
Oh, the witch?
Yeah.
I like the witch.
And I felt uncomfortable trying to woo her. Storm, yeah. I was I can't woo this lady.
Shadowheart.
It's David's.
So Andrew Jacobs has a good question. Okay, no dibs.
Okay, thank
May
you.
May the best men win. Andrew Jacobs says, I haven't played the series myself. Is it user-friendly for beginners? 100%. I don't think you need to. It is a different style of a game, but it does a pretty good job of walking you through that style, especially in like the first zone.
And they've done a good job at explaining things. There are difficulty levels. There's balanced, there's hardcore or difficult, and then just super easy. But they do a really good job at explaining when things pop up on the screen what they're for.
Yeah, they ask you if you want those pop-ups. I kept them on. Very helpful.
It's not going to tell you like, hey, when you're hurt, you should use a potion. Here's where the potion, like, obviously, but it tells you, shows you where your inventory menu is, and you know what I mean?
But like, also you can like hover over your potions and it tells you what it does.
Like if you're watching this live, like look, this is a person playing on the PC with mouse and keyboard. It looks intimidating, like that bottom bar menu, but it's actually really not.
No, it's super simple.
It's you can just scroll over each thing with the mouse, and it's like, oh, okay, dash, that, you know, and it just tells you what, you know what I mean?
A lot of those buttons are standard for all characters, so it's not, like, what you're looking at there is not all custom abilities.
I actually think this is a really good way to explain Dungeons & Dragons, like the rule set.
Yeah, it actually is, yeah,
because the rules get there's a big book you reference all the time while playing D&D, but this actually does a really good job at saying, okay, there's a number up top, you have to beat that when you roll this D20, roll the 20-sided die, and then you failed.
Yeah.
So well, the brain
hates
you.
And then it tells you like, hey, because your charisma is so high, you get +2 here, it adds it all in for you. So
I think they've done a really, really good job.
Oh, here's a dice roll right here.
Yeah. Keep in mind though,
that person failed bad, and they had a +3.
We just watched.
What
a
were they supposed to get?
15. So the difficulty it right there. So the difficulty they had to hit was 15, and they failed.
See, if this were me in real life, I'll be like. I try again.
I would have thrown myself off that cliff.
No, see, that's not how.
Missing that. Missing that. I miss this roll. I'm out.
And see, they're showing how advantage works here, which is really cool.
So they have another party member. Man, they are having a bad day.
Yeah, they rolled two.
Man, this is the point where I reload my save.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
I will reiterate. This game is not not for everybody. I like it because they use the 5th edition, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition rule set, which I really, really like. But it's different. It's Larian went, when the world was going this way, Larian went the other way with Divinity, and that's what they're praised for. They made it a unique game. They made a game that is hard to make, and no one wants to try to make it because of the sheer difficulty that a game with this many choices provides. But it's very good if you like that style of game.
What I like too is I feel like they did a good job of balancing battles.
Okay.
In that sometimes turn-based can get obnoxious when you're just getting hit with battles, random battles, all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. I have not yet experienced that in here, and I don't know that I will. I've not seen anyone express frustration there.
I think that's what's cool about it is because the gameplay is just as much in the combat as it is in exploring the world.
In exploring, yeah. And that's exactly how I felt because that is a downside. Any turn-based game that throws too many battles at you just crushes your
soul.
Momentum. Just absolutely, yeah. In fact, you get to a point where I just would like to try and skip. There's a back at run, run. Yeah, I don't want to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I want to progress the story. This balances that really well.
Also, I would say your class can determine simplicity. Like I'm playing a wizard. You have a lot of.
I think wizard is one of the most complicated classes.
Yeah, it's a complicated because of how much. You'd think the wizard is like damage based. It can be, but it's more like utility, and you have a whole bunch.
Okay, I want to try to be one of these little dudes with a huge dong.
Little halfling?
Yeah, with a huge
dong. With a huge dong?
You're going to want to go.
Yeah, E.
E.
Yeah.
Okay. with an E wiener.
Oh, man. Be sure to, you know. Peruse the merchandise.
Yeah, they have a lot.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I will. Let's in our group play. Let's record it and drop it up. We'll see how we decide to cut it up. Maybe we record all our separate perspectives and throw it up there. I don't know.
That seems complicated.
I don't know that we need to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll figure that out. That'd be fun though.
Yeah.
But I have the time. I have formally requested and formally received notification that yes, I can do this.
Yeah, my wife wants me to do time, so I just had to find something. I found it.
Okay, cool. Well, let's start it.
Well, what's interesting is how this game does it is like we'll be able to vote on.
We can vote someone out of the party.
We'll like vote on dialogue. So like I could out dialogue you guys if that's what my character is. And so if you're all like, no, let's do this. And I'm like, no. Like, you can actually be a jerk.
Yeah, I agree with Devout. He says, look, we can all be honest. Baldur's Gate is awesome, but we're all waiting for Starfield. Starfield, please be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't disagree with that.
I am waiting for Starfield. I love that game.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to love that game.
By the way, one game that did drop yesterday on Game Pass, and someone was talking about it earlier, Airborne Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Stenick talked about it earlier that he jumped in. He didn't expect to like it. It looks awesome.
Well, just another advantage.
It's a city builder in the sky. Like, you build these giant sky cities.
What game are you talking about?
Airborne Kingdoms, if you want to pull it up. Yeah. It does look awesome. It's got rave reviews. Rave reviews. Everybody's talking about it. And just, again, proves the value of Game Pass in my mind. So this is one worth checking out. Again, along the same line, if you like strategy, you like builders, you like simulations, this would be right up your alley. It looks beautiful. This seems to all the gameplay that I've watched of this so far is with mouse and keyboard, so I would be very curious at what this is like on
a with a controller.
Because you're in
the air. It's probably superior.
No, but because you're in...
I can't see this game being superior.
The thing is, too, when you watch them build, though, because you're in the air, there's like a precision there. It must just... They must have like a... If you're using a controller, it must like magnet over. You know what I mean?
Snap.
Yeah. Snap. That's the word I'm looking for, yeah. But super cool. So you're building up that thing. That's a city that's flying. Yeah, see how like it's precision. So it must snap. I guess that snaps too. So that's probably how they do it. Super cool. Very.
It's like building a bunch of BioShock Infinite cities.
Yeah, basically,
yeah. That's
basically,
But let's hopefully without the terrible stuff that they did in those cities,
like the racism.
Yeah.
Like,
so if you
let's keep it. Hopefully these are nice cities.
It's a nice city without racism.
So if you've played this, I know Drew has in chat, but if you've played this, let us know in the comments what you think of it. Airborne Kingdom, it looks interesting. Looks very interesting. It is on Game Pass now. If you're interested, go check it out. Now, one of the things that dropped today, THQ had their conference, and so we got a bunch of game trailers.
Yeah.
Some that we were making fun of.
And some that we were like, oh, that'll be cool. Some
that we were like, oh, that will be awesome. Probably the top one that interested us was probably South Park.
Snow Day.
South Park Snow Day. And it looks like they're advertising it as a multiplayer co-op. It looks very MOBA-esque to me, though. Just from what we saw. It looked like they were in lanes there.
Nah, I think it's just going to be like a... What are they? Don't they? Do they just say multiplayer co-op?
It just says co-op multiplayer. Yeah.
Go to the thing.
Should we go look them up?
Yeah, because I think it'll probably because I get the vibe it's gonna. Well, maybe it's. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping, and this is just me.
4-player co-op experience.
That's all we got.
And compete in 3D battles as you attempt to save the world.
Yes, yeah, so I'm hoping it's another continuation of Stick of Truth. And
I don't think that's not.
I don't think it's that. Yeah, but I think it's definitely like multiplayer.
But it still looks cool. South Park is... They does translate to the gaming screen very well.
Well, not the 3D, does it?
Well, I mean, the last 3D one we had, because there was the Stick of Truth... Right?
Was that 3D?
That was 2D, and yeah. Then there was Fractured.
Like 2.5.
Then there was Fractured, Butthole.
Yeah.
And that was the sequel to Stick of Truth. I think the last 3D one was the chicken one on the N64. Or the turkey one on the N64, which ironically took place in the snow. Maybe this is a...
Well, I mean, South Park is like their most... Unless it's summertime,
it's
always snowy.
Snowy in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, was that... I think that, yeah, the N64 one was 3D.
Yeah. Well, N64's, like, main thing was, you know...
64-bit, 3D.
3D, yeah, when Mario 64 came out and blew our minds.
What is interesting that we did get that I didn't realize was, but THQ Nordic announced Gothic. And what are they calling it here? Let me see. It's just Gothic Remake. Gothic 1 Remake. So a remake of Gotham 1. So Gothic, for those of you that don't know, and I didn't realize this just looking at it now, there are 3 Gothics. The last Gothic to come out was Gothic 3 in 2006. They're touted as some of the best RPG open world RPGs ever. Mm. And you're looking at the Steam ratings of all the Gothics here. They're all 9 out of 10s. Very positive. 10 out of 10s. Very interesting here. Like a true RPG.
And now they're remaking it.
I know. Well, they're remaking the first one. So
if that's successful, they'll do the other two.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I've never...
When did these come out?
2007 was number 3.
2006, was number 3. That's the last one.
And was that
dropped?
Was that on, so that would be 360 era, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, looking at the reviews and the images of the old ones here, again, top tier reviews. I've never played Gothic. It's before my time, clearly.
Wait, was it before? You're old. It wasn't
well,
before
kind
your
of.
Time.
It's before I had like a ballsy PC that could handle these things.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Before we had... You know,
before we had disposable income.
Disposable income to buy.
As adults.
Yeah, makes sense. But, although, you got to be honest. When we were living together, you did make me buy some pretty good stuff with credit cards.
There was. So Gothic 3 is a fantasy theme. So this is for Gothic 3. Open world action role-playing game developed by Piranha Bytes. It's now THQ purchased it in 2017.
Man, maybe I should do this on Know Your Game. Maybe
I should. I would be interested.
Because I want to learn more. It looks good.
There's 6 factions in the game. But... Rebels, Orc, Mercenaries, Hashishin. I don't know what that is.
I believe that's a seasoning.
Hashishin.
It goes on, salsa. Or no, I don't know.
Interesting. Well, very excited to see... Yeah. To see these,
well, and actually, I kind of, so THQ
is a quiet powerhouse.
Well, I kind of like that they're buying up all these like old games and like for example, me and my son play SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated.
Very Witcher-esque logos there.
I actually played that game on the GameCube way back when, but now me and my son play through. Oh, which by the way, guys, I actually have to tell you a story that I don't know how I feel about. But I wanted your opinions on it.
Did your son choose Horde?
No. Look, no, it was interesting. So anyway, we're playing all these old games or some of these old games that THQ is remastering and redoing, and it's been kind of fun to go through them again, especially now that with your kids, I was like, oh, I played this SpongeBob game growing up, and so what we were doing, and I just want I like I yummy. So okay, so we're playing Mario Kart.
Okay.
Mario Kart 8 on the Switch.
It's a win so far.
And we're playing some of the DLC maps and stuff. And anyway, you can get stars. When you pick a race in Mario Kart, it gives you four courses. You do four courses, and then it gives you a star rating at the end of it. Three stars is the max. To get three stars, you have to come in first every time.
My son only gets one star, so I'm not impressed. Is that where you're going leading?
Well, I think I may have made a mistake, but I don't know. It might be good, too. This is where I watch your guys' opinion. So we're going through. We race three times. I came in first three times because...
You're the dad.
Yeah, I'm good at this game, right? So I'm like, okay, one more race. One more race. We'll get the three stars. We'll check this off the list. Because I'm going for a completionist, you know what I mean? We'll check this one off the list. We'll go to the next cup. He happens to do really well that last race. And he's ahead of me on the last lap. He's in first. I'm in second.
You didn't? Did you red? Did you red?
No. Well, I had a shell.
Yeah, you red shelled him. Well,
I'm basically we're coming around like the last corner, and I'm like, well, he's really excited that he's in first place, and I can let him win.
This is good.
Or I can throw this shell and get the first and get the three stars for the cup. So I made the decision to throw the shell.
Did he cry?
No, he just goes, oh, I got hit. And then I zoomed past him and won the race.
But he didn't know it was from you.
He may have figured it out. But so here's the thing. Now, the reason I felt bad is because come to find out, and I'm not 100% sure. Well, no, I'm not 100% sure. But I think it doesn't matter who wins. As long as a player wins, you still get the credit for first place. So I might have done it. Not needed to do it.
I don't think there's anything wrong.
And I felt bad, but then I thought to myself, you know what?
I don't think there's anything wrong.
It's a rite of passage to beat your father. You know, every
I think
icon,
it would only be wrong if you mocked him.
Every hero that I look up to has beaten their father at one point in their life. Like, look at Luke Skywalker. Took him forever, but he finally beat his father.
Kratos.
And they had Kratos. I mean, then they,
Wait, did he beat his father?
Oh, yeah.
Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, yeah. And then actually, he beat his father, and they became closer.
No, he didn't beat his father. Wait. The Emperor did.
Kratos isn't... No, maybe I'm wrong. He did kill Zeus,
But I guess that's probably not
his father. His father did drop off his hand.
Fatherly figure.
Yeah, yeah, but that's, I mean... Because it's kind of like a, hey... You want to play with the big boys. So anyway, I feel kind of bad, but then I also feel like, you know what? It's like when you play your son in chess. You ain't beating me till you earn it. You know what I mean? That's how I feel like, hey, true. When you earn it, you'll beat me.
I would
also
say,
I just felt bad because he was actually racing really good and I threw a shell at him.
I would say, depending on the age, when they're young, milk before meat, give them confidence.
But he came in second.
But as soon as they hit that threshold where they start to be pompous about it, then you throw it on the hammer.
Then you bring him.
Then you go. Okay, I'm not left-handed.
But the reason I felt bad is because I was like, oh, because I found out afterwards. I was like, I think it's just the players have to come in first, so I don't think I needed to throw the shell. But then I'm like, you know what? Yeah. He's got to earn it.
I'll be honest. I think you could have gone either way because he's so young. But yeah, as soon as he starts hitting that, once he starts requesting V-Bucks, then shut him down.
But you know what? I think it's somewhat kind of inspired him because now he's playing Mario Odyssey and he's beaten bosses by himself.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
And to be fair, when we were his age, we were playing Turtles on the NES.
Yeah.
And that game beats you down.
Yeah, so I'm gonna I think when you play as long as one of you win it counts as a three star. But
you bring up a good point, though.
You know what I mean? What do you do? Do you let your child win or do you make them earn it?
See,
life isn't easy.
Right now I have a 1 year old and he's just cute, and I can't red shell that.
You gotta teach him life is hard.
Well,
life is a shell.
1 year old, he just loves cars. He loves playing with toys. He's like, I cannot red shell that kid. When he's like nine, yeah, Yeah, I could red shell that. I could blue shell that. I could.
I'm actually very against the blue shell.
Well, it's the great. It's the wealth redistributor, right?
Like, well, the blue shell, I think,
it
is
kills
actually
everybody until it only helps the last place person,
which he's not going to catch up to you anyway. So it actually, so like for because how you can't get the blue shell unless you're in a certain position.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that position ain't going to reach first. So all it does is help the guy behind first.
What about Piston Pete, right?
Piston, you mean Bullet Bill?
Bullet Bill, that's whatever.
Piston Pete.
Piston Pete, Bullet Bill. The big Bullet Bill. Who's Piston Pete? Did I just make that up?
No, that's awesome, though. Can we trademark that character, Piston Pete?
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm going to look him up.
David, what do you think? Do they earn it?
I don't have a problem with what you did.
All right. But you do go, like, hardcore on your Sunbin chess.
Apparently, Piston Pete's an automotive service.
Yeah, that's right. See?
Jordan,
yeah.
Piston Pete is an automotive service.
Okay. Piston
in Minnesota.
Pete. Bullet Bill. Yeah, Bullet Bill, yeah.
All right. It is trademarked, so we can't go into automotive stuff. Bullet Bill.
The only other thing, really, from THQ, well, there's a few other one interesting. Recreation cool. We've seen that before. We've seen that before, though. Mania. But the one that I think looked most interesting, or is Outcast, A New Beginning? And I feel like we've seen this, or there was a... maybe Outcast is just used so much in different, you know, trailers. Look, it's a ton of movie trailers, etc. But this game basically looks like a futuristic... And I can't tell if it's multiplayer or single player. I think it's just single player.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Rust. Futuristic what, Rust.
Is it? I didn't get any Rust vibes.
I did, because you gotta build up your
city. I guess
city,
like build up, but I wouldn't necessarily say
did you,
Rust.
Do you build up? I thought it was just improving your like dorm.
Oh yeah, that may be true.
It was just like you're adding a table.
Yeah,
and
that
then
may
you're
be true.
I mean, I could do that in
when you
Skyrim.
Say Rust, I'm thinking of like hardcore survival.
But like no, like yeah, like they but made it not, yeah, clear yeah. that you're changing the world here.
Yeah,
as you go through it, so. With futuristic jetpack.
Yeah, I do like the jetpacks. Yeah, it reminds cool. me a lot.
We don't
of
like that. That's the part we were making fun of. We said another eagle vision.
Oh, yeah. Packs. I was like, oh, really? Towers? That.
Oh. Well, it's funny because they're showing it off like it's a feature, and you're like, oh, great.
shit. Another yeah, one. I'm like, tired another of other towers here. Well, it looks interesting, though. Outcast. Go check out the trailer. Yeah.
They also, I do want to do an honorable mention. I am a fan of Trine. And Trine 5, they did have a trailer
for
Trine 5.
That they, like, did they dub over it?
Yeah, it was, yeah, like, the quirkiest, it was like the quirkiest trailer I've ever seen. Yeah.
Hey, but what about that Red Dead news? What
yeah,
do you guys
how
think
about
of that?
Red Dead?
So a $50 port that you
Red
can get
Dead's
for $30
getting
brand new.
Over to the PlayStation for $50.
PlayStation
a remake,
4.
PlayStation 4. A remake.
And Switch. And no, no. It is not a remake.
No.
It is just the game.
It is literally a
port. Oh, so it's not even upgraded?
No, it is a port.
You don't
port.
Get the four. Surely it's upgraded in the way that the Xbox One is.
No, it's the Xbox isn't upgraded. It
yes,
just
it
runs
is.
Better on powerful hardware.
It's upgraded.
No, they may have, Xbox may have put the FPS boost on it, but it
you
is
get
not
it in
upgraded.
4K.
You can play it in 4K. It's not
oh, okay.
in 4K. Yeah.
Anyways, it is awesome. It kind of just highlights like, oh, by the way. Because people on Twitter were like, aha, Xbox doesn't get this. And then the responses were
everybody
great.
Was like guys,
we already have this.
Yeah, it's already there. That's why it's not coming to Xbox. Well, that's why it's not a remaster. Well, it's
not a remake for the Xbox. So Rockstar is doing it, but they don't need to do it on the Xbox because of Xbox backwards compatibility
yeah,
features.
But I actually think it's a bad call because it's a 13-year-old game that's getting zero upgrades.
Yeah.
That's being ported. Yeah, I mean,
no,
cool.
No,
I can play it on the Switch.
You want to know what I want to do with Red Dead Redemption 2? Just give me Red Dead Redemption 1 inside that world and let me play. The ending of Red Dead Redemption 2 is the prologue to Red Dead OG. So you could just continue there. I would replay it if you did that. In that same world, just expand
upon
it.
Well, I think it's because like there's been a lot of talk about what you want. Like, hey, I wish we could get a remastered Red Dead Redemption. That would be awesome.
You do and that. Then, I'm replaying that. But you do it inside of Red Dead 2, and I don't know
if you can blame Rockstar. You blame Take-Two. But they were like, all right, yeah, you guys want a remaster of Red Dead? Check this out. We're going to port it to the PlayStation and charge you $50.
Fitty.
You know what's funny about it? Is you can go right now and buy the Xbox 360 version brand new for $30 and you're still saving money.
That's funny.
And play it the exact same way you'd be able to play it on Switch.
What a great game.
I think
you can't do that though, David, because you're talking about decade difference in game engine.
Just rebuild it.
That's what I want. I want to completely rebuild.
They rebuild Final Fantasy VII.
If you charge $50, yeah, you're paying for the.
You're charging $50 to give someone a 13-year-old game.
That's what I'm saying. Like
that. Maybe it's more difficult than I think, but I don't think is probably a ton of resources to bring it to PlayStation and Nintendo Switch.
I have, what's it called? I have gone back and forth on this. For what, even just watching this, Red Dead Redemption.
Well, this is on PC 4K HD.
Hit the magic.
Yeah, but still, man.
They hit the magic more than Red Dead 2. Red Dead 2 was very good. Very good. Better world building in Red Dead 2? Yes, because of the technology and stuff. But overall, Red Dead 1 was a superior experience.
I
think the argument could go either way.
I think it could too. I think I lean a little bit more towards Red Dead 1. And the only reason I say that, and obviously like there's newer and better features in Red Dead 2 and the world's more fleshed out.
There's more memorable experiences in Red Dead 1.
And that's why if Red Dead 2 had a character like Sid, you know what I mean? Like just, some of those kind of like, or even what was his name?
The snakes, oil salesman.
That guy was hilarious.
Or what's his face? That still would have been grounded. El Presidente.
Oh yeah, that guy was.
But do you see like, okay, now give me some experiences. The main quest has experiences. The main dude who you end up fighting.
The Tesla guy. That was actually really cool because Tesla when guy you come back cool. as a different character,
but you
the
still,
Tesla guy.
Like, they did less have of those, less of those was, off the beaten path.
There
you
was Satan.
Freaking saw Bigfoot in Red Dead 1. How memorable!
No, he's in Red Dead 2, but you don't really get to interact with him. And then there's like Satan. I think Satan's like they're in caves and they kind of run away. There is a little bit, but it's not as. There is the aliens.
Yeah, but that was also in 1.
But that's what I'm saying. There's not like as memorable.
I mean, I think it's subjective here. I think it's opinion based because yeah, I think Red Dead 1 is what would you call it? A dramedy. It's like a drama comedy.
Yeah.
Red Dead 2 is just it's a serious. It's a
yeah. It yeah. was more serious. Yeah.
It's a
I just think
tragedy. That's what you would call it. It's a tragedy. And,
so,
and
but
so
my memorable experiences from Red Dead 2 is the ending. And like the halfway point to the ending. And those were both.
And my horse.
Those were both main story driven. It was much less. I don't feel like they did as good of a job with giving me those memorable experiences outside of that main quest line.
Would you say there was too many characters in Red Dead 2?
I think that might be part of the problem too. I think you were able to be much more focused.
I don't know.
Because you're kind of a lone ranger in Red Dead 1.
I really put both of these at the top of the pedestal.
Oh, they both are, no doubt.
I just don't.
I give the edge to Red Dead, though. Red Dead is superior to Red Dead 2.
If you're
IMO,
if you're including the time period when the game was released, I think you'd have to give it to Red Dead 1.
Yeah,
because
it did more for
it did more. More yeah. yeah, but Red Dead 2 still. I mean, it did that too.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I don't know. I think it's completely opinion based. I think we probably like Red Dead 1 because we played it first. If you were to go backwards,
and we were there on night one, remember? Like we actually went to the midnight release.
No, I don't.
If you were to play it backwards, play Red Dead 2 and then play Red Dead 1, I think you'd probably prefer Red Dead 2.
Here's the thing, though. They can give me that experience, and then I can make that judgment. Just put it all in the game, baby.
I don't think you can combine.
Yeah, you just have to remake it like Final Fantasy did. Just straight up remake it.
And then it's in that.
That I would pay $50 for.
Dude, I would. In that
a port,
same,
I wouldn't the pay $50 world, for.
And then it's this seamless experience. How awesome would that be?
And then imagine Here's if the you thing. Like
this
just
kid,
buy the
I know
game.
This is on PC spec'd out, but damn.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can see its age, like, especially on that TNT barrel, but, like, it's still, you didn't really have to do much to update it. I mean, I don't know. It would have been nice to get, like, a remake of it, but.
Do you think the world was there? There's a point where a world gets too big. This world was smaller. And so maybe you were able to condense. You were able to come across those experiences.
This world
earlier.
Is actually pretty big.
It's still big. Yeah, yeah.
Considering.
But Red Dead 2 was like double the size of this world or 1.5 times.
What Red Dead does so well, and I think this is just Rockstar is good at this. Red Dead 2 takes place in the West. There's a lot of wide open space, but the world doesn't feel empty.
No, not
at all.
So
what's interesting...
Where I've played other games that are very dense and the world feels empty.
You know, I watched the, you know, the like Data is Beautiful stuff where you see stuff. It's funny you bring this up. I just recently watched one where it's video game maps and they keep zooming out on different sizes of video games maps.
And which one is the biggest? I've seen that one.
Yeah, they're...
They're like dwarfed. Like games that you think are huge get dwarfed.
I think Minecraft was second place. Because...
But doesn't it just keep generating itself?
It was like when the map is an equation, like because it was given like square miles. And then it's an equation on how big the map is that you've hit a point where you're not going to ever visit anything in there. Oh, but what was interesting about that is... A lot of the smaller maps, I would have never thought that they were that small. Excuse me. Because they were so populated and dense. And I think there can be congruency or something, you know, a relationship between map size and density versus just sheer map size.
Yeah. Correlation.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word. There's a correlation. And a lot of maps, they had a lot of Assassin's Creed maps. Like the early Assassin's Creed were teeny.
Oh yeah,
were like super small. But when I played them at the time, I thought they were huge.
Maybe that's why I hate the new ones.
And it's because they put so much in such a little space. The worlds were alive, like Jordan was saying.
Well, sometimes, and I think you can do this with a lot of Ubisoft. Like sometimes less is more. And when you look at like Ubisoft's, I guess, recent releases, and then compare it to an Elden Ring. Okay, Ubisoft, I mean, which is probably an unfair comparison, but the worlds are probably bigger, and there's a lot more to check off the list for 100%, but it's tedious and boring, and you don't like it. Whereas in Elden Ring, there's not as much to do, and eventually the game comes to an end, but it's more fulfilling, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes less is more.
Amen.
And I think that's, And I think that's where Rockstar does a good job, because in all of their games that I've played, their worlds have always been one of the main characters, and they've been done really well.
El Never in chat brings up a point that I want to point out. I would rather them continue the Sun story as part 3 over a remaster. I agree.
So if we get a part 3, that should be it, because then we have the prologue. But, hear me out. Why not just build it? So here's what you could do. You have Red Dead Redemption 2 that is supported a lot. Red Dead Online, even though it's not as big as Grand Theft Auto Online, it's still doing pretty well, and they're still supporting it. You have the map from Red Dead 2, which expands except into Mexico, but it fills the whole map of Red Dead 1. Red Dead 2 ends where Red Dead 1 starts. You could do a remaster of Red Dead 1 in that same world, and at the end of that, guess what you set yourself up for in the same world again, possibly the Sun story at the end of that Red Dead 1. That would be awesome. That would be some Marvel Avengers shit.
I think I can guarantee you it's the game engines. Like you can't. They would have to rebuild
that's why
the
we're,
game.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying.
Rebuild
that,
it.
I will pay $50 if you rebuild it.
Yeah, rebuild it. I will buy it again, and then I'll buy it again
that
with three.
Seems so, like, do you know how many employees Rockstar has to make these games?
Thousands and thousands all across the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Rockstar is probably one of the biggest developers, you know.
Yeah.
Out there,
you're only making me think it's more
which
possible.
Which means they should do it.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going with this.
The scope of what it takes to make a Rockstar game is astronomical.
Here's the thing, though.
You have a baseline. You make a few quality of life improvements.
Here's the thing. Here's the X factor, Spicy. AI.
Yeah, I guess. You know, when you bring that up.
I don't.
AI is the new copy and paste.
So Red Dead 1, these numbers could be off, but I'm pretty sure this is the case. Red Dead 1 took $350 million to make.
Mm. Yeah, but that's from scratch.
Yeah, this isn't from scratch.
I mean, it kind of is from scratch, but you already know what you're making.
Yeah, well, if you tell the AI, you know what, just make this game into this engine, maybe that's possible.
Also, this is pre-GTA Online funding days.
Well, okay.
Red Dead and you already know what the story is. You know what's going to happen. That helps you know a what lot. I mean? Like, yeah. All that's done.
And all the audio work is done.
You don't have to redo the audio.
The audio.
Probably never going to happen because they're still working on Grand Theft Auto.
So 1,000 people developed OG Red Dead Redemption over 5 years.
All right, so if we get 3,000 people on it, we can cut the remake down to like 2.5.
No, but you're from scratch.
Just throw manpower at it, right?
Red Dead 2 was in development for 8 years.
Yeah, but when they say in development, like 8 years ago they were talking at the urinal about it, so that's down since day one development. You know what I mean? Like... Yeah. What I want to know when the actual, you know, when
and it was the first time they co-opted. So Red Dead 1 didn't utilize all their studios. Red Dead 2 did.
Games should have the urinal date.
It's like Starfield. It's a marketing thing. Ah, this has been in the making for 20 years. It's because 25
years.
Yeah, it's because all of your stuff has built up to this, right? Like you've learned all your technology and all. Like it's not Starfield has not been in development for 25 years, so, right? You know, like
so. It's funny on my series. I did Starfield, and I was like, I don't know. I actually say on the video, I don't know if this actually took 25 years. In the comments, I got the explanation. Todd Howard wanted to do it, but he just didn't have the hardware to make this kind of game.
Oh.
Well, so that's the same as me saying, well, I want to make the holodeck, but I just don't have the hardware to make the holodeck. So now...
It's officially in development.
It's now in development.
Yeah, the holodeck is in development. Yeah.
But see, I almost think that's a marketing term, too. Like
a holodeck?
No.
It's TM.
We wanted to make this game 5 years ago, but didn't have the technology to do it.
It's here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everything's marketing to a certain extent.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because I bet you didn't even think of the concept until the technology. Maybe you did. I don't know.
I'm just. Bethesda is actually including the urinal date.
Maybe they are. Yeah, like
25 years ago.
Yeah, we were at the bathroom.
You know what we should do. We should make this game in space.
That's a good idea. Well, we'll see you on Redfall.
All right, everybody, go check out the THQ Nordic list that dropped today of all the games coming out. Check them out for yourself. That actually will do it for us. If you are a member of the show, stick around. Or if you're not watching live, come check out the Members Lounge, where we'll be going over what's the best gaming setup. Who has the best gaming setup? Is it Jordan? Is it Mr. McSpicy? Is it myself?
Who knows? Good question. I do have a really good setup in my house right now that I should show you guys.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah.
Excited to hear about it. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. I'm walking away. I'm so far.